Talk Tonight on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Richard Krause in for Jim Richards. Jim will be back in about a week or so. I'm in all next week, Tuesday through Friday, and then fresh from his vacation, he'll be back to entertain you with his wild thoughts, magical thinking, and smooth delivery. Until then, though, here we go. There's a story that I've been reading about, and this is kind of a Toronto-based story, but I know that it has repercussions, and I think probably is something that's being experienced in a lot of cities and towns across the country. And the specifically here, ridership is plummeting on the TTC, that's the Toronto Transit Committee, and violent crime is on the rise. So fewer people on the subways, generally speaking, but there have been more violent crimes committed. And the story that I've read here has, you know, a couple of examples of people that were assaulted. We've heard stories about people with knives, and a woman was attacked with a broken bottle not long ago. And there has been this alarming rise in violence on public transit, but it is not something that you can just say, okay, we'll flood the subways with police and this will automatically go away. It didn't work in New York. I was in New York in April when the shooting happened, and a number of people were shot on the New York subway. And New York responded by flooding the subway with about 1,000 police officers. And crime didn't stop. You know, the very next day, I was on a subway in New York City and saw a massive fight break out, and there were no police there to stop it. It's a massive system. 1,000 cops is just a drop in the bucket. And it, while Toronto's system is much smaller, I don't think that just more policing is the answer. And to help me kind of work through all of this, we have Dr. Andrew Buzzari. He's the primary care physician, executive director of population health and social medicine at the University Health Network. That's UHN. Dr. Buzzari, thank you for joining me tonight.
Well, thanks for having me, Richard.
So we should clear up here right off the top that there is no evidence that links mental illness with criminality. That's true, right? That is a truism?
Yeah, not at a higher rate. I mean, I think, unfortunately, we've seen this, you know, over the past many decades, where whether in the popular press or in cinema and in media, sort of linking disease conditions or mental health conditions like schizophrenia to being more violent, or being more likely to commit crimes. That's not the case, actually. Unfortunately, people with mental illness are actually more likely to be more vulnerable, and people who are actually on the opposite side of violence in terms of on the receiving end. Of course, there are cases of where we see real agitation and mental health exacerbation where there are very tragic outcomes, again, where there's definitely cases where this can happen. And unfortunately, as you mentioned, we've seen this over the last few weeks at a rate that is, you know, no one can condone. But it's really clear that it's not at a higher level or higher rate than the general population.
And there is, I mean, there have been a lot of incidents on the TTC, the Toronto Transit Committee or Commission, in the last few weeks, and people are scared. Yeah. People are looking over their shoulders, I think, a bit more often than they perhaps would have in years gone by. The violence on the subway is up an incredible amount. Yeah. So more police isn't the answer, though, necessarily. It might have some sort of effect in trying to deter the odd thing, but there just simply aren't enough police to police the entire thing. So what is the answer? What do we do?
Yeah, you know, I think you raise a really important point, Richard. I mean, it's sad to see, you know, what's happening for folks having to ride the TTC, the fact that so many really depend on it to get to work. We saw this throughout the pandemic, especially for essential workers. And again, the lives lost over the last few weeks, especially the last few months and years, is nothing but tragic. Mm-hmm. I think the piece that has to be clear, though, as you mentioned, is we can't police our way out of this. Nobody wants a police state or a police officer, you know, on every cart or carry. I mean, what I think we need is to ensure that we are actually addressing the pathologies of poverty mm-hmm. that are really driving higher rates of mental illness, higher rates of these real episodes that are happening in terms of where people are very desperate. They do not have access to housing or stable housing or shelter beds. More and more people do not have access to mental health care. We have a long written about two-tier mental health care system in our country. It has only gotten worse in terms of being able to access mental health care, especially throughout the pandemic. And again, I think we can't disconnect just the amount of challenges that people are having. More people are coming to public transportation, either sleeping on buses mm-hmm. or streetcars or subway stations, because there is nowhere else when our shelter system is at over 100%. Our hospitals are at over 100%. So you can't really disconnect all of this. And so really, I think we've seen some really good evidence and examples in cities actually early, like New York, as you mentioned, Richard, where there was a housing first strategy years ago. The early results of that showed, you know, drops in mental health sort of exacerbations, better outcomes, better health outcomes for people who are able to get housing first, reductions in crime. And we see this from Finland to Winnipeg to New York. So we really have to take a human and housing first approach instead of trying to look at moving budgets more into policing or punitive areas. We know that if we can get more people housed, people access to the supports and mental health supports that they need to be able to start to, you know, thrive and be able to get the care they need. These kind of heartbreaking incidents that are, you know, the heartbreak runs every which way. The evidence is clear that there is a real marked reduction. It's cost effective and it is really centering human dignity.
I'm speaking with Dr. Andrew Bozzari, primary care physician, executive director of population health and social medicine at the University Health Network. I think we can draw a straight line back to the pandemic. A lot of people faced uncertainty in work. They were perhaps put out of work, maybe put out of secure living situations, and have ended up on the street. And I think one of the words that has come up here is desperation. And this desperation is really feeding and exacerbating these underlying conditions that may have existed beforehand, but are really pushed to the fore because of desperation. And when you think of it in those terms, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And so we talk about more housing. We talk about all those things. How likely or how I guess the question here is, with just about a minute to go, how optimistic are you that we'll be able to point this city in the right direction?
Well, I don't want to be a downer, Richard, going into the new year, and I want to channel the last speaker and the optimism. But I think to be pragmatic about it, I think we have to be clear that there is public policy dollars for these things that you mentioned, from housing to mental health care access to really important pilots like the Toronto Community Crisis Service Response that has been in place now over the last year and having some really great outcomes in terms of responses to mental health calls. But if we have money to, you know, increase police budgets or build more highways and infrastructure, there is money to put into housing where we know the return on investment is massive, both for health outcomes, for health when it comes to healthcare utilization, when it comes to human dignity, and when it comes to the economy. So I think it's really about centering these public policy decisions in the direction of the evidence and the human dignity, and where we know it's both cost effective and equitable. So I think evidence is clear. I think the pragmatic piece is, can we actually start to drive this into practice in the policies that we're choosing? And that's where I hope we start to do more of that in 2023.
Dr. Bozzari, thank you so much for shedding some light on this. It's a fascinating take on this, because I think the obvious thing that a lot of people think is just flood the subway with police. And that is simply not going to work. It's a much deeper problem than that. And thank you for illuminating it for us this evening.
Thanks so much for having me, Richard.
And Happy New Year.
You as well.
I'm Richard Krause, sitting in for Jim Richards on News Talk tonight. There's lots more to come, so stay with me.